Amen. How we doing, church? Amen. Midweek service, and it's great to be here. I just wanted to make an announcement on behalf of the elders. The elders have identified two couples that will co-chair our search for a new lead ministry couple here in Gwinnett. We have great confidence that God will use these men and women to help us find the right couple. And if I could have Harold and Cheryl McCurdy stand up, along with Peter and Nancy Berry. And we wanted to personally thank you guys for your hearts to serve God in this way. Amen. And at this time, we're now going to have a financial presentation from Thomas Hood and Peter Berry.
So we're going to open up with a little inspirational video, assuming the magic has worked. Are we okay, Larry? Okay, guys. Fire away.
Hey, hon. Mm-hmm. Take a look at this.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Ah.
What is it?
It's a... I don't know. It's a... listenatively... But at that price, we sure must need it, huh?
That's a good point. But we are already deep in debt.
Oh, don't worry, hon. We've got our credit cards.
Oh, you're so right. Hey. How silly of me.
That's why you married me.
Let me get the phone to call. Hi, operator. Yeah.
Hey, do you have money for this?
Well, not right now, but I'm sure we will someday.
Well, didn't you say you were in debt?
Oh, we are indeed.
I can never get our accounts to add up.
It's like we're in a hole that we can never get out of.
Credit card debt. Will it ever end?
Girlfriend... I'm here to help.
We sure could use it.
Yeah, we've even tried those 1-800 debt consolidation numbers.
Taking out loans to help with the payments.
High interest in everything.
Sharks.
Here's the bad news. You're not alone. Millions of Americans suffer with debt they cannot control. Here's the good news. I've created this new, unique program called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything.
That's right. Oh.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, yeah. Sounds confusing.
No.
Wait. This makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense.
There's a whole section in here about how to buy expensive stuff with money you've saved.
Whoa, yeah.
What are you...
Money saved.
See that?
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, simple.
Now... Where would you get this saved money?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't grow on trees.
Outlined. Chapter 3.
Okay, what if I want something, but I don't have any money?
Okay.
You ready for this? You don't buy it.
Where?
Don't buy it.
Well, what if you don't have the money to buy something? Shouldn't you buy it anyway?
Yeah.
No.
Well, now I am really confused.
Yeah, me too.
Estoy confused.
All right. It's a little confusing.
Just a little bit.
At first. But come on, guys. You gotta get this. You got to.
Okay. What if we have the money? Okay. Can we buy something?
Yes, you can.
Okay, take the money away. Same story.
No. Whatever you do, do not have credit card debt. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
Well, shouldn't you buy something first and then hope that you can pay for it
Hope's
later?
Hope's a good thing.
It's a spiritual fruit after all.
No.
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 You have the money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then you buy it.
Then you buy it.
You buy it. Yes. You buy it.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Yes, then you buy it.
Shouldn't you, even if you don't have the money... Buy it anyway?
Yes, that's
no, 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 no.
Well, why not?
I give up.
It's right here. It's in the book. It's my advice. It's priceless. And the book, it's free.
Well, I like the sound of that.
We could use our credit card.
Yeah.
Get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
So that was our class. Not quite. So how many of you want a subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine? Are we good with that? Okay. I think I'm going to go into print with that. So anyway, yeah, we got asked, Thomas and I, to do a little class, or class, maybe that's more appropriate. But in any case, the Financial Peace University is starting up another session in a few weeks. And this is a good opportunity to introduce some of those concepts and also just kind of circle in all of you who may not be able to get to that class. But it really is an important and spiritual topic that we're talking about. So why us? Well, Thomas is very qualified. He's been trained as a teacher for the Financial Peace University along with Jennifer. They do a great job of budgeting. He's a wise man. And why me? Because I'm cheap. So between us, we should be able to handle it. So in any case, as the man said, hope is a spiritual fruit, but hope is not a strategy. Just so you know. So, we can throw up the next slide, then everyone can start writing down some of my scriptures. These are four of the scriptures that David stole from me, anyway, for the Financial Peace University. But in any case, that we've been using for years and years. But my intro to this is really to speak to how you handle your money is a spiritual part of your life. Okay? Thomas is going to come up in a minute and take the lion's share if I don't talk too much and really speak to some of the practicals that need to be addressed and some of the areas where the Financial Peace University classes over time can also help. But I wanted to frame this discussion first. This is not just a budgeting class. How you handle your money reveals your spiritual character. Full stop. Okay? Does that mean if I'm poor, I'm unspiritual? No, I did not say that. I did not say how wealthy you are. I said how you handle your money. So one of my stories, it's from someone long, long ago in a church two or so congregations back from me. But I got with a woman, single mom, three kids. I was single income feeding four people. She was a single income feeding four people. And we met because she was interested in seeing if she was ready to buy a house. And we met at breakfast because she worked a night shift and I worked a day shift. So we met over a breakfast. And I walked away and said, okay, from now on, when I think it was Willis Ware back then that was leading my group, well, next time he asks me to teach on money, you teach. Because she was making about a quarter what I did and was still ready to buy a house. And, you know, it isn't about the income. It's about the choices. So Luke 14, nice passage. Have read that numerous times, but if you camp on verse 33 right at the end, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. How you handle your money is a spiritual choice because you don't have any money to handle. You're handling God's money. It's God's. I live in a house that God lets me live in. I drive a car that God lets me drive. I don't have anything that isn't given me from God. And if we really believed that, and if we really studied through that, then when you were baptized, your wallet was baptized also. Whether or not you took it in the water, just think that could be a symbolic one, okay? But in any case, it's a spiritual choice. You are the accountant for God's money. How righteous an accountant do you want to be? No one can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Oh, yeah, I know that, Peter. You know, there's I'm a spiritual guy. I go to church. Question is, at the end of each month, are you spending more time worried about the money or more time worried about pleasing God? Who are you really serving? And that's not necessarily an indictment. You might have a lot of money things to worry about, but that becomes an indictment of your overall choices and lifestyle if you've put yourself in a position where the money has to dominate. When you borrow, Thomas would hit on this a lot, you become a slave to whomever you borrowed from. And you're no longer a slave to God. In that little corner of your life, you just became a slave to someone else. Because they will demand that money. How much enslavement do you want? On the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:2, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up. Every once in a while, I have counseled people, and every once in a while, I know certain other brothers here have counseled people that they need to give a little less because their faith has outweighed their in keeping with your income. However, the vast majority of the time, let's be honest, it's the other way around, right? But whatever it is, seek advice, get some wisdom. But set aside some of what God has graced you with. If it's a dollar because that's what the advice says, then make it a joyful dollar. You know? But give joyfully. Okay? And finally, Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Honor God. Some of that is giving to the church on Sunday. Some of that may be giving to the benevolence contributions on Thursday nights. And thank you, thank you, thank you for that. You are the most generous people I have ever known. We give away huge amounts of money over time. I don't have huge amounts of money usually sitting in the bank waiting to be given. But over time, you've made a difference in many, many people's lives, many of whom are sitting here with you. So thank you for that. We're not rolling in it in the benevolence fund, but you are generous. Thank you for that. But honor God with your wealth. That could be as simple as living in a manner appropriate, choosing a house that states who you wish to be to honor God, as opposed to who you wish to be to compete with Bill Gates, maybe, right? You're going to lose, so don't compete with Bill Gates, just saying. Okay? So the reality is I can honor God with my wealth, not just by what I give, but also my charitable giving outside of the church, by my choice of lifestyles, by my choice of a 1997 beater of a 17-year-old car that Paul really still wants, right? Yeah, just okay. Anyway, but in any case, the bottom line is you don't need to live at the limit of your means. And you're honoring God when you save some of that back so that you can meet other people's needs. So that said, I'm going to quit right there and give Thomas the floor. So make sure you're thinking spiritual thoughts as we talk practicals.
First of all, I wanted to thank the elders for giving Peter and me this opportunity to speak, especially Alan Rouse. Alan has been, I would say, one of my financial heroes of the faith. For as long as I have known him. It's like when I grow up, I want to be like Alan. A few months ago, I don't know how long it's been, I started working with Peter deciding the benevolence issues. When people make a benevolence request, Peter and I work together on that. And Peter and I are almost polar opposites. We come at things from very different places, but we always come to the same decisions. We always work together. We always come to the same conclusions on it. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about Financial Peace University. My wife and I have been doing this now for 7 years, and we've pretty much been doing two classes a year, one in the spring and one in the fall, so that's over a dozen classes that we've done. I'm not sure. We may have missed one here or there. Anyway, one of the things that you're going to hear in Financial Peace University, the phrase, live like no one else. And we say, live like no one else so later you can live like no one else. So what does that mean? What does living like no one else mean? So what I thought about is how's everyone else living? So I looked this up. I actually did a little bit of research this week on the internet. And if it's in the internet, you know it's got to be true. But the average household has a credit card debt of $15,191. $15,191. Actually, 9 years ago, when Jennifer and I, when we woke up, we found ourselves in $26,000 worth of credit card debt. So we beat the average there. The average student loan debt, you ready for this? Is $33,607. So when someone graduates, the average college graduates with $33,607 in student loan debt. Okay, now here's another one. The average car payment is $450 a month. Okay. And Jennifer pointed out to me, she said, what if you have two cars? Think about that. Two cars, if they're both $450 a month. I mean, that's some serious... Have you got the PowerPoint presentation, Larry? It froze. Okay. I've got some scriptures here. Proverbs 13:7. We're still talking about how does everyone else live? So Proverbs 13:7 says, one person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. Is there anybody in here from Texas? What do they say in Texas? They say, the phrase I was thinking of, what did you say, Kathy? That's it. Big hat, no cattle. I mean, look, think about it. You got a really big, tall cowboy hat, and you got no cattle. I mean, you're looking like something, but you're not. So you're pretending to be rich. What does it look like when someone pretends to be rich? I mean, think about it. You look around your neighborhood, your friends, your coworkers. When someone pretends to be rich, you know, they may drive a really nice car, may wear a really nice suit. I don't wear suits. But they're paying for all of it. They're in debt for all of that stuff. Let's see. So some of the attributes of living like no one else that I thought of is, first thing is you've got to sacrifice to win. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. In Hebrews 12:11, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Is there anybody in here that really likes discipline? Anybody like, I love it, I love it. Like, no. I mean, think about it. Nobody really likes discipline. But we do like what discipline produces in our lives. It says, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I saw the word peace, and I thought about financial peace. And that's kind of, financial peace are kind of two words that you don't think of together. You know, you normally think of financial stress, you know. But a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained for it. trained by it. Does anybody, where's Kendall Knight? Is he in here? Kendall, tell me what it's like to sacrifice to win as far as like a sports team. Thanks, Kendall. I actually gave Kendall a heads up this past Sunday, so he was ready for me on that. So you don't just show up the day before the big game and put on your pads and play, right? So you got to sacrifice to win. So what does that look like as far as sacrificing to win with financial peace? Anybody think of anything? What? Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so sacrificing to win. You've got to cut back. You've got to do some things. I'm going to get to this later, but here's some. The next thing I thought of is that you've got to live on less than you make. And I think Peter mentioned that also. You've got to, you remember the couple in the video? They were like maxed out credit cards, and they were still buying stuff. But you've got to, where am I? You've got to live on less than you make. Proverbs 21:20. Oh, by the way, in preparing for this, I read through the book of Proverbs, and there's a ton of scriptures on money and about the spiritual concepts of money. I didn't cover half of these in what I've got to have in my talk here, but where am I? Proverbs 21:20, the wise store up choice food and oil and olive oil, but the fool gulps theirs down. It says the fool just goes ahead and squanders what they've got. Another thing I thought about in living like no one else is you've got to have an emergency fund. There's going to be emergencies. Emergencies are unexpected events. Now, they're unexpected. There's things that you can plan for, but there's going to be unexpected events. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." So the ants, nobody tells them what to do. I guess God put that in them. But the ants have an emergency fund. So you think if an ant has an emergency fund, then we need an emergency fund. Number four. You've got to live on a budget. You are not in Congress. We've got to live on a budget that balances. We can't just keep borrowing money. And the budget, I'm not going to go into great detail about budgets. In Financial Peace University, we do go into great detail about budgets. But a budget is not a theory. It's not an ideal. In the perfect month, this is what it would look like. Your budget must reflect your actual life. Every month is going to be different. I mean, here we are, August. What's happening in August? Back to school. Kids go back to school. I mean, some of them need new clothes to go back to school, right? Every month is different. We've got birthdays. Different people have birthdays, different months. We've got the marriage retreat coming up. We're saving for that, right? Christmas. Now, this one's not an emergency. Christmas, when does Christmas come? December. Christmas is in December. So you can plan ahead for your Christmas spending. You don't go out and buy all the Christmas presents on your credit card, and then January, your credit card bill comes. You don't do that. So Christmas is not an emergency. We can plan for that. Okay. Another aspect of what it looks like to live like no one else is being able to help others. I mean, you think about, did we just have a need where somebody's moving to another country to help start a church, and you'd like to be able to help out with that. You'd like to write them a check for $500. But you can't do that if you can't pay your electric bill this month, you know. So when you live like no wealth, no one else, it says you're going to be able to help others. Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And isn't that the way that you, have you seen this in your own lives, where you've, when you've given to someone or given to some cause or something, and then all of a sudden you get something back, unexpected. God blesses you, and I'm going to give this much, and God's going to give this much back. It doesn't work that way. But it says, if you're generous, you're going to prosper. Proverbs 14:31. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. We don't want to oppress the poor. It says you show contempt for your maker. I mean, God made all of us. He made you. He made the people who are poor and needy. Here's a saying I hear in Financial Peace, is that broke people can't help needy people. If you're broke yourself, you can't help people who are in need. Let's see here. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Another instance there. You're generous, you're going to be blessed. God's going to bless you for being generous. Here's a concept I learned in Financial Peace, that personal finance, this is what we're talking about, personal finance. We're not talking about corporate or something like that, but personal finance is only 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. Let me say that again. Personal finance is 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. Personal finance is like a 12-step group. And I'm not going to ask who's been in 12-step groups. Don't raise your hand. But it's like, hi, my name is Thomas, and I'm addicted to stuff. Hi, Thomas. I think the medical term for that is stuffitis. You know, and for me, I love musical instruments. If it were left up to me, in my own nature, I would have a room full of musical instruments. Oh, wait a minute, I do. But they're all paid for. They're all paid for. And my dear wife, Jennifer, she is an enabler. She buys me more musical instruments. Every time, a birthday, Christmas, whatever, anniversary, she buys me musical instruments. So, in order to have financial peace, we have to learn a new word. Here's the word. It's no. Practice it with me. No. It's like, I want to spend $500 on a mandolin. No. Okay, when your 10-year-old comes to you and says, I want the new iPhone 16. No. How about this one? It's like, my car needs new tires, but I want to buy a new car. No. How about, I don't feel like cooking tonight. Let's go out to eat. No. My wife says yes. She's supposed to support me in this. Okay, personal finance is not an accounting issue. As a matter of fact, there's a young man who just graduated with a master's degree in accounting. He came to take our class. He did. Yes, he did. I didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I made an accounting mistake. I'm $26,000 in debt. No, that was from behavior. That was from repeated behavior. Over and over and over, buying stuff that we didn't need with money that we didn't have. Now, how many of you in here are 47 years old or younger? Raise your hand. Okay, that's good news. That's more than half of you. Because I was 47 when I decided I wanted to get out of debt. And it took us just a little over 2 years, and before I turned 50, we were out of debt. That means everything except for my house. I still have a house payment. Everything else, we are out of debt. The first thing I did, though, when I decided that, you know, I can't live like this anymore, we were in a house we couldn't afford. We sold the house we were in. So I don't know what it's going to be for you. That may, you know, that's kind of a drastic thing there, but anyway. In financial peace, how many of you are married? Okay. Spouses have to work together. You have to. You have to be on the same page. Genesis 2, 22 through 24. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, wow. No. No. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. Okay, one flesh. And that means, for us, that means one budget. You got to work together. It's said that money problems is the number one cause of divorce in North America. The number one cause. Money fights and money problems. Financial stress. It's an estimated 57% of divorced couples say that money fights was the primary reason. So think about it. If we can have financial peace, I know for us, our marriage really improved once we had financial peace. So in a marriage, who should make the financial decisions? Both of you. There can be a lot of problems when the spouses do not work together. One problem is that one spouse makes all the decisions, and the other one just kind of goes along with whatever the other one wants. But this can lead to resentment and feelings of insecurity. Another problem that could possibly happen if the spouses are not working together is keeping separate bank accounts. Basically, you're living two different lives. It's like, I'll pay the rent, you pay the utilities. I'll pay the cable, you pay the gas bill. You know, you can't do that. The only time I would see where a married couple should keep their finances separate is if they're thinking about getting divorced. So, enough said on that. Keeping separate bank accounts can lead to deceit and lack of transparency in a marriage. Now, I'm about to wrap it up. I can't cover everything that we do in the 9 weeks. A lot of it's copywritten material. The Bible, for sure, is not copywritten, so we can talk about the Bible all we want. But here's some of the things that we're going to cover in Financial Peace University. Is how to get out of debt, how to make a budget you can really live on. And it's not just a theory or an ideal. How to save for retirement. How to buy a car without car payments. How to send your kids to college debt-free. Let me back up a little bit on this. At the time that we started Financial Peace ourselves, I had a son who was a sophomore in high school. We were $26,000 in debt. I had nothing saved for him for college, nothing. And yet, he has done pretty well. He's worked while he's been in school, and we've helped him out a little bit, but he's mostly done it himself. Anyway, where did I get? How to send your kids to college without debt-free. How to pay off your house early. And then the last thing is how to build wealth and give like no one else. Okay. I've got some sign-up sheets that were we had in the announcements. Our class is going to start 1 month from today, 4 weeks from today. I've got sign-up sheets if anybody wants to see me after the class. And Larry, have you got the video for the last? We've got a little... Huh? Okay, I'm going to be up here after we get done. We're going to watch a little video about financial peace. Thank you.
For close to 20 years, families have been changing their futures through Financial Peace University.
I started it with a bad suit and an overhead projector. I set the room for 135 people. 4 people came. And now today we've had over 1.5 million families go through this course. That's over 2 million people across this nation.
You may be wondering, what is it?
What Financial Peace University is about is a return to God's ways of handling money, but in a very practical, step-by-step game plan showing you exactly how to do it.
FPU is about learning how to control your money.
When you make these dollars behave, you're going to get this sense of power over your money that you've never, ever had. Don't move into a home with 62 debts or 6 debts or 2 debts and no money. You move into a home broke with a bunch of debt around your neck, Murphy will move in your spare bedroom, bring his 3 cousins, broke, desperate, and stupid.
Marriages are being made stronger. Couples are learning how to talk to each other about money and getting on the same page.
The closest statistical correlation to success going through this program are those that actively engage in this budgeting process. And for those that are married, they're doing it together. You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. When you get disgusted and you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore. We're done. We're changing this thing. Talk about the why. Talk about your dreams. Ask your spouse, what would we do? Where would we travel to? What would we buy? What would be changed if we became something as a couple where we were working together on that? Now, man, I'm sure you know this, and we've been talking about it for the last few minutes, but it's very true. Women are different, aren't they? Say yes.
Yes.
One of the things you may or may not know is they have a gland right in here that you don't have. It's called the security gland. And when she is feeling insecure due to money issues, that gland spasms, and it is attached to her face.
This 9-lesson, 90-minute class will challenge you.
Now, this is a boot camp. I'm your coach. And so I'm gonna make you uncomfortable sometimes. You're going to go home and go, I don't really like him tonight. Now, if I agree with that, which would make you wrong. That's what happens when the coach coaches you, doesn't it? He kind of rubs you the wrong way. There's a little friction on there, right? I've had some good coaches, and they lit me up a time or two, but it caused me to go places I couldn't go otherwise.
Life change is never easy. But you won't be alone. You'll watch a DVD each week and discuss it with your small group. Your classmates will encourage you and help you take those first steps. You'll walk away from FPU knowing how to relate with money. You'll learn how to pay off debt and save for the future. And you'll learn how to protect your plan. We aren't born knowing everything we need to about money. We learn. And there's no better place to learn than the Word. The Bible offers more than 800 scriptures on money, and Financial Peace University is based on that solid foundation.
You are literally going to be doing things every week differently than you ever have based on biblical principles. Things like doing a budget, things like working with your spouse, things like singles having an accountability partner, things like teaching your kids so that a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's not theory. This is actual application on everything. What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? What would happen? What would happen to the kingdom of God if the people of God were out of debt?
All you need is a plan. Financial Peace University is that plan.
So I think we've succeeded in cleverly allowing about 10 minutes for any Q&A. And if you don't have questions, then you can go out in the storm right away. Now, anyway, so if you have practical questions, or if you have spiritual questions, or if you have just those despairing, this could never work for me, believe me, we were both there. My story, Nancy and I took, what, about 18, 20 months, I think, from one decision point to being out of debt, except again for the house. Working on that one. So, you know, it's not usually a 10-minute cure. It wasn't a 10-minute problem, right? But in any case, so any questions out there? Anyone have any thoughts? You can change the names to protect the innocent, you know, whatever you need. So, yeah, a lot of that answer depends on the individual choices. Do you have someone else supporting all or part of your college expenses, or are you on your own doing this? How much are you able to earn? I did work study all the way through school and worked on the summers and so on, and I had some scholarships. How many of you know that academic scholarships don't pay as much as athletic scholarships? You all know that? Just saying. That's my whine. I've been whining about that for 40 years, but I'm still, anyway. Okay, so back to point. I also have ADD. So the what I would say is individually, you probably need to get some advice and say, you know, what are the specifics of my circumstance? What I will say is if your room and board situation is changing, you're not living at the same place, then that's a factor in what you need the budget for. School is not just tuition. It's tuition plus books plus random expenses plus class fees plus this plus that. So you need to allow a fair amount of overhead for those kinds of things. If you're just entering, you may not have a really good concept of that. So what I would recommend is, one, get advice from some of the recent college students, and then, two, keep some good books for the first 6 months or so that you can correct your course quickly and not find out a year or two later that you have a problem. So in general terms, I hope that helps some. I don't know what your source of income is, or are you living off savings through the whole time? Again, a lot of individual pieces and parts to that. But does that help?
Okay. One more thing on that, too. Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel Cruz, her mission is geared toward young people, college people, young professionals. And if you go to her website, rachelcruz.com, she's got a lot of practical information there about college, about what to expect, a lot of good videos and things there that might help some too. RachelCruz.com. Anyway, okay. All right, a little commercial.
More commercials. That's all. Is that him? Nope.
Stephen had his hand up. Well, without going into great detail, I can just basically tell our personal story. When we figured out we wanted to be out of debt, I worked as much overtime as I possibly could. You can do things like take extra jobs, get a part-time job, mow yards, deliver newspapers, tutoring, helping, you know. It depends on what your skills are, but use your skills. Work in your own strength. You know, whatever your skills are, just try to amplify that. God really poured out the blessing on us. At the time that we decided we wanted to get out of debt, my company had never offered overtime. All of a sudden, we're getting overtime. I'm working, you know, 10, 20 extra hours a week, bringing extra money. We put all that toward debt.
So, yeah, that's sad but true. Some in this room and many others that I've talked to over the years have had six figures and more of considerable just student loan debt. It's like another house payment, right? What I would say is spiritually, Romans says what? Let no debt remain outstanding except the debt of love to one another. That's going to be carved on my tombstone, except that I've already told Nancy, burn the body, get rid of it. I don't need a tombstone. But in any case, you will hear me talk about debt. I don't like debt. I would say, as a disciple, you need to be responsible and be working to pay it off to the best of your ability. Again, individual situations, a lot of individual advice needed there. There's no single magic formula for every situation that can come up. But I would counsel a lot of discipline and a lot of measured wisdom to say, I don't need to buy the next thing if I'm still trying to pay for the last thing. And if the last thing is college, I need to be paying that down. I need to be aggressive. Fortunately, those are frequently relatively low interest loans, so they might be behind the credit cards in line in terms of what to pay off first, but they still need to get paid. And the darkness came over the land. Okay. How about we'll do one more in faith, and then we'll see how that goes. Way in the back there. Yeah.
Can I answer that one? Your child may or may not go to college. Someday, though, you're going to get old and you're going to need something to live on. Now, in Financial Peace University, we talk about baby steps. Anybody who's been through it can list the baby steps for me. Can anybody remember the seven baby steps in order?
Quiz.
Here's a quiz. Danny, baby step number one is to have a starter emergency fund. Baby step number two is to do the debt snowball, paying off your debts. Baby step number three is having a fully funded emergency fund. That's 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. Baby step number four is start putting money into retirement. Baby step number five is start planning for college. So in that sense, retirement does come before college. Peter mentioned about scholarships. That's one way that your child can go to college. There's no scholarships to retire on. I mean, we can't rely on the government when we retire. So we've got to plan for retirement. We've got to set aside money for retirement ourselves. I mean, it's great. It is great if you can help your kids with college and if you can start a college fund when they're really young, put aside a certain amount, and by the time they're at the age to go to college, it should grow to have enough money to go to college. That's great. Ideally, that would be the thing to do, but not at the expense of your own retirement.
I was going to say, there are many, many avenues to paying for college. One of them is your healthy young child can work his way through school. Okay? I did that with some help from scholarships. But as it noted, those academic scholarships don't give you a full ride, trust me. I think bottom line is the saving follows the payments on the debt. The debt payments have to come first, and then take care of yourself. Steve Collier gestured up here, and it's exactly right. You ever been on an airplane? If the oxygen masks drop, you put yours on, then you take care of your kids, right? Okay. So squeeze in one more here, and then we'll let you all escape. I saw a couple more. Oh, yeah, right up here.
That is awesome. Planning to not be in debt. That is awesome. I applaud you for that. Basically, while you're still in college, learning to live on a budget, living on below your means, like I talked about, and then you don't go off, you know, as soon as you get out of school and you get that dream job and you go buy that dream car, you don't do that. You still got to live like a college student, you know, and work your way up. Save money for your car, save money for a down payment for a house. Like Dave talked about at one part, buying a house when you've got no money is disaster. You're just asking for trouble. You're asking for Murphy to come in and bring his three cousins, broke, desperate, and stupid, you know. So just plan on living frugally. Even when you get out of school, you got the job, save up to buy a car, and start saving for, you know, if you want to get a house, you know, you may want to wait several years, you know, but anyway. Yes, yes.
Yeah, quick answer is yes, right?
The quick answer is yes. I have found about 99.97 people, financial peace is helpful for you. There's only a couple people I know of, no, less than that, that, who really has already been practicing all these concepts.
Especially when you get to all of them. Okay, we're going to say a prayer in just a minute and get you dismissed. Was there anything else elders need to announce or anything? Okay, we're good to go. So one thing just to remember, and I did mention, is these are individual places for each one of us. The principles are universal. You probably need advice. We're happy to give whatever wisdom we have. All of our elders are good examples. Talk to them. There are many other men and women sitting around you who have handled their money wisely. If you look at them and consider the outcome of their faith, you can imitate them, right? So look for those examples. We're happy to help. So many, many of your questions are going to take the individual circumstance. It's not as simple as, you know, just double what you're giving to the church and you'll become a millionaire. No, it's not that simple, you know. There's a lot to it. So be wise, get lots of advice, and we're all willing to help. We want to be a congregation of people who are handling their money God's way. And that will make us amazingly powerful for helping other churches and ministries and needs all over the world. It's an amazing thing. Anyway.
Let's pray. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to talk about our finances and the way you want us to handle it. God, I pray that each one of us looks at our hearts and our checkbooks, and we pray that we can line everything up with your will, God. Thank you. Thank you for the financial peace starting up. I really pray that everybody who really needs to be in that class can be in it, God. And thank you. Please be with us tonight as we're trying to drive home with the storm and everything. Please keep everybody safe, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.